about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey guys.
Shh. All right, y'all. I'm going in.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
I swear I heard something.
Oh, Adam, we have been over and over this. There is nothing under your bed. There is nothing in the closet. There are no such things as monsters. All right?
All right, I guess.
Good. Now, try to go to sleep, because we got to get up in the morning and make movies. We're big Hollywood actors.
Yeah, we are.
We're actors. If we don't exist, how would people know who to vote for?
That's not brown rice.
Don't you hate it when you're shooting up in the bathroom and this song comes on?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Some sad news in the world of radio.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
Roll another one.
Baltimore!
Just like the other one.
I did not sign up for this.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hey, girl.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I like soccer. It is good.
Roll. Another one.
It brings me agony and sadness and dread.
Just like the other one.
You're pretty much perfect, aren't you?
This one seems to be about.
Every day can't be a holiday.
I don't have another cent.
Where are you from?
L.A.
What for? Compton?
No, I wish.
But don't bogart that joint.
What?
Just pass it around.
I just need some babes, man.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That sentence was confusing.
I just pass it.
And now...
Exactly. You know it. Wait, what did you say?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:35, and it's Friday the 6th of September.
This week must just be flying by, Kevin.
It certainly is.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Return of the monkey, everybody.
Yay.
It's not a proper zoo without a monkey.
You're right.
Right? Do we do a zoo? Is that what we do?
Sure. Why not? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
What's going on? I hear it's only going to be 99 today. Congratulations.
Oh, that will be such a relief.
That's a break.
Yeah. 110 where I live.
I know. Well, Every time I step outside, I think of where you live, Kevin.
I live right in hell.
Seriously.
You know, I just wonder if somewhere in space there's a giant magnifying glass that is just it's training the sun right onto your house.
Yeah,
do you ever think about that? Like you're the anthill of some species we don't know about.
And they're all just laughing.
They're just laughing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it is a brand new Kevin and Bean show for a Friday. Here's the one thing I know about parents. And I don't have kids, but the one thing I know about parents is parents think their kids are perfect. Every time you see, somebody on the news who, killed a bunch of people or whatever, there's always a mom or a dad who's like, well, that's not my boy. He wouldn't do something like that. You've got it all wrong. I mean,
yeah.
Their kid is never the one. I mean, if somebody comes up to a parent and says, you know, your son is a dick, right? There's no way the parent takes that information and conceives that
no.
It might be possible, right?
You know what? You may be right. That kid's a dick. That never happens.
No.
It never happens. And that's what I thought about when I read this story. Now it's happening in Southern California, but it's been happening around the country. It started in Massachusetts, where schools are taking weight and body mass indexes of students at school because they're trying to keep health, health in schools and awareness in the schools and adjusting school menus and physical exercise programs and things like that. So they're sending letters home with the students after the weight and body mass index tests are done. So they send the letters home that say, hey, your kid is obese, for instance.
Right.
And parents are just freaking the F out over this. Just outrage, calling and complaining to the school, trying to get people fired, just trying to do everything they can because they're getting this fat letter.
But what if their kid's fat?
That's my point.
Their kid's not fat. Their kid's perfect. Yeah. Big bone. Grow out of it. It's
please.
Fine.
Look, I know my kid is 4'11 and 180, but he's just husky. That's all. He's fine.
This is but Adam Carolla's plan. They're going to start making him wear jackets with their ranking.
Yeah, exactly right. So there's a huge discussion now about the letters, whether the letters should be sent out, whether the wording of the letters is appropriate. Apparently, the word obese is the word that's really like the parents are going berserk over their kid being called obese. But obese, I mean, it has a medical definition. It's
right.
Not just somebody at the school going, your kid's a fatty, fatty, fat, fat. It's really, it means something. Obese is a certain percentage of fat in the body. Right?
Yes.
Right.
It has
true.
A definition, and I think parents just don't want to deal with the reality of that. And the other side of this conversation is people who say parents know their kids. They don't need the school, and depending on you know how people feel, they say the government
right.
to tell them
the
that
man.
Their kid is obese.
Right.
Because parents do know their kids are fat, but I think there are probably some parents out there who don't pay much attention. Turn a blind eye to it. Don't know. Don't think of it as being a serious problem. Maybe a little education might be good for those parents.
It's possible, though, that they're going through, you know, bodies change in middle school and high school. It's very possible that they could be growing out of it.
True.
Eventually.
Yeah, sure it is.
They should send home a card, one of those that has audio in it, you know, and you open it up and then it just goes.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
That's the way to do it?
Yeah, I think so.
One registered dietitian who checks the weight of school kids told CBS Channel 2 out of the 900 preschoolers that she recently looked at, roughly 200 were listed as obese. And these are preschoolers,
wow.
by the way.
I think part of the problem, too, is a lot of these parents are probably obese.
Ah.
And they don't want this pointed out because
that means
if their kid's
obese.
Changing, they've got to change, too.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
probably
Maybe
not
so.
Going to happen.
But I think it's the impulse that most parents have is just to fight back at anyone who's suggesting that their little family and especially their little monster isn't perfect.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But
does
the school tell anybody but the parent?
No.
Or no?
No,
I mean,
they just send
the
it
home.
Does the kid see it?
Just send it home.
That's a good question. I don't know. I hope so. But I think they send a letter home to the parents. But it doesn't say here in this article whether it's sealed or not.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
Was that
an excellent point as well? So anyway, interesting story that has now got a lot of parents very upset in Southern California.
I wonder if we should talk to parents of fat kids. Your
think
kid
call in.
Your
think
kid is a fatty.
It?
Let's be honest.
How do your parents handle it, Birma?
They disowned me.
Yeah, they tell him.
They tell him all the time.
They tell him daily he's fat. Wow, you're fat. His dad says every day now when he comes home.
Muggs, of course, who's 30 and living at home, do they just not let you eat at the dinner table with them? Do they go, oh, you've had enough, son?
No, they let me eat, but it's definitely portion controls by now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you crawl around and pick up the stuff they dropped on the floor.
Of course.
Yeah.
Take whatever you can out of the dog's bowl.
Right.
And you know Muggs is coming down and cleaning out the refrigerator every night as soon as the old man's asleep.
Sure, yeah. It's like 11:30. Dad's asleep. Muggs cleans everything out.
Right.
Including the pet food. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah!
Very excited. Maybe too excited for today's show. Cousin Sal will be on the program with his NFL picks.
Excellent.
Certainly hope he picked Denver last night. We have, and this is the reason I came in for real, the Armenian comedian. Omar was very excited about this. Now, you may hate the Armenian comedian, but don't
I
worry.
Do.
I do, too.
But don't worry. We're not going to have a conversation with him, I don't think.
I saw him coming in as I was leaving. I'm like, I'm fine with that.
He came in this past Wednesday and recorded a podcast with Omar. And Omar has ultimate patience with him.
Yeah.
Probably second only to me. But a podcast with the Armenian comedians. We have highlights of that.
I didn't know about this until yesterday. I wasn't involved in that discussion where it was hatched.
Right.
So Omar comes in and says, yeah, we got the Armenian comedian podcast tape. And I thought he was kidding me.
Right.
I thought, why would such a thing like that exist? Like, why is that a real thing in the world that people would pay any attention to?
Because Omar made it happen. He called Sam and said, we need to do a podcast. Come in Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
We'll record it.
Well, Omar said I didn't even have to listen to it. So I guess I'll be hearing it along with everybody else.
I'm all excited, brother.
Yes, about 20 are. Minutes.
Movie beat because it's Friday. Comedian Paul F. Tompkins on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
The lengths that you went to meet a celebrity.
Yes. Ralph did a story yesterday about a woman in Pasadena who got very excited that her favorite TV show, The Mentalist, was filming down the street from her house. So she jumped in her car to ride down there because she loves Simon Baker. And what did she end up running into and knocking down half the set, Lisa? Is that the story
she
Ralph
She ran
flows?
Into like a truck filled with lighting equipment.
Wrecked her car.
A barricade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wrecked her car, and we thought that might be an interesting jumping off point to other things that people have done. You know, walls that they've climbed in the hotel,
sure.
or they've lined up for 8 hours, or whatever they've done to meet their celebrity, because that's what she went through. And by the way,
broke into fill in the blank.
Yes, happy ending. She met
Simon
Baker.
She got a happy ending.
She met Simon Baker and got her photo taken with him. So she probably feels like it was a pretty successful day despite wrecking her car.
And we have a brand new song for you that you will not believe. And it's maybe the best thing I've ever seen.
Really?
It's possibly the
best
song ever.
Okay.
So we got that coming up today as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
It's definitely sweater weather. It's one thing I know about that song.
That's true.
Is it sweater weather already?
Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Apparently, the Armenian Comedians podcast coming up right after the top of the hour.
Can't wait.
Never been looking forward to something less than I am this.
But well, we can cut it off whenever we want, Bean. That's the beauty of it.
That's true.
That is nice. First, though, Ralph, I encourage you to take as long as you need with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Because Sam's coming up next.
Is that exactly, yeah.
Best
why
podcast
rush?
Ever. I don't know why you guys aren't excited.
I'll do the best I can. Congratulations on Lamar Odom checking out some help to get his addictions under control. Of course, it was announced yesterday that he went into rehab. Oh, what was that? Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently, he never checked in.
Oh, really? But
what?
So he made the announcement that he was gonna?
Yeah.
And then he just was like, you know what? No.
Yeah. Not ready for that
He did
yet.
Not check into rehab.
Oh,
according to TMZ.com, he's gone completely off the radar, and Khloe Kardashian has heard nothing from Lamar, and they don't know where he is or what
That's
he's up to.
That's a little scary.
So.
He seemed fine until he came in contact with the Kardashian
That's
family.
That's all I'm saying. That's when it all started going downhill for Lamar. He went from Abba's Abba's to snorting whatever. So I'm just saying, he went from sugar to booger sugar. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a reference
you know
to
what
cocaine.
I'm saying?
Right.
What? Cocaine?
No.
Oh. Maybe he's on the party bus. So definitely more on the party bus.
I would know if he's on the party
that's
bus.
That's true, you would. You're the keeper of the party bus. Congratulations to Scarlett Johansson and to Kevin, of course. Scarlett's getting married again. So congratulations to you two. Wait a minute. Like,
thank you.
The guy's
that.
Name, she's not marrying you, Kevin,
well,
again.
I have an AKA.
This is the second time she's not marrying you. She, of course, was famously married to Ryan Reynolds. And now she's set to marry her boyfriend, Romain Duriak. I have no idea who or what Romain Duriak is, but he's not good enough for her, I'll tell you that much.
Whoever he is.
Yeah. She was spotted with a big diamond on that finger at the Venice Film Festival, so everyone knew something was up, and her people have confirmed the rumors that she is, in fact, getting married again. So, congratulations. Yeah, and congratulations to Jessica Simpson. She is the latest recipient of what has been popularly coined the push present.
The push
the
present?
The push present.
I don't know what that is.
This is something that the husband or significant other gets for the wife or baby mama when they push out a kid.
Oh, it's an extra gift?
It's an extra gift.
Okay.
Once the kid is born, then you have to give her some sort of jewelry or something.
Push present.
The push present.
And what was this?
Eric Johnson gave her a opal and micropaved diamond earrings that are worth $4,500. That was her push present. Now all he has to do is get her a push away from the table present. And his life will be a lot better. Rob Pattinson is once again sharing too much information.
I hope he's not sad.
He wasn't in this particular story. He did an interview with a German magazine called Interview. And said that in the 2008 movie Little Ashes, he actually pleasured himself for a scene.
What?
To completion.
What do you mean for a scene? You mean
there's
on
a
camera?
Scene in the movie Little Ashes where apparently he needed to.
Doesn't he know what acting is?
Show his orgasm, and so he actually pleasured himself.
We do not need to see his O face.
Funny you should mention that, Kevin. Here's the quote. My orgasm face is recorded for eternity.
Oh.
So if you want to see Rob Pattinson achieve Le Petit Mort,
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Feel free to pick up a copy of the 2008 movie Little Ashes. Apparently, he's in there just working it like it's his
job.
An
old movie. Huh?
Thanks. Holly Madison, former Hugh Hefner girlfriend and playmate, has announced she's getting married this summer in Disneyland. Tying the knot at Disneyland. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
You can get married at Disneyland?
Oh, yeah. In front of the castle
or
whatever.
That's dumb. Only little kids should get married at Disneyland, right?
You're turning into me. I like it.
Little kids should get married at Disneyland.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Nine and under.
That's right. All those 9 and under couples, they can get married there. But that's not for grown-ups. She's marrying her baby daddy next week, apparently, at Disneyland. And they
is she the one with the laugh bean?
No,
that's Kendra.
Kendra. Okay, good.
Holly was the one who got closest of those three girls next door to marrying Hef, but he passed on her. They recently welcomed a baby girl, she and her fiancé, last March, named Rainbow Aurora. Do you remember Rainbow when we talked about her?
Yep.
Maybe they should get married at Disneyland. If your kid's name's Rainbow Aurora, you've pretty much already had a fairy tale princess come out of your vagina anyway, so you might as well just go the full 9 yards and live there in the Magic Kingdom. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. For Sunday.
This coming Sunday.
That's right.
What are you excited about?
Well,
football?
I guess, sort of, a little bit. But more importantly, tickets for the Broadway premiere of Rocky the Musical go on sale on Sunday. Previews for Rocky the Musical begin February the 11th of next year. Oh, I cannot wait.
Is there any way it's going to be good?
We all have to go.
We do all have to go.
You know what?
No,
it's a win-win. There's no way you can lose. If it's great, then you're like, wow, that was great. If it's awful, then it's like, wow, that was great. It was so awful.
There's no way it's great, though.
Let's all get our tickets.
I agree.
Oh, it'll be awesome.
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
I'm sorry.
I hope he's in it, and I hope he sings.
Sadly, I don't believe Sylvester will be reprising his role as the Italian Stallion, but he is, of course, one of the producers and one of the writers. So. And since we're talking about old things made new again, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is reportedly in talks to do a big-budget, big-screen reboot of the 1980s TV series The Fall Guy. Remember The Fall Guy with Lee Majors?
Yes.
Remember it existed.
He was a Hollywood stuntman.
Is he a PI or something?
He was a Hollywood stuntman who was also a bounty hunter on the side. Started Lee Majors and a guy named Doug Barr and the sweet, sweet Heather Thomas. Oh, Heather Thomas. There were a lot of very popular blonde Heathers back in that era in television. There was a lot of Heathers on television, but of all the Heathers, I think she was my favorite. Yeah. McGee is in talks to direct, so we may get a new Fall Guy. Tonight at 10 p.m., come see me and Kevin Smith do our thing with Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. Yeah, come on down. 10 p.m. Yeah, it'll be fun. 10 p.m. tonight, Kevin will get stoned. I'll have a couple cocktails. We'll all have a good time. Go to improv.com or babylonralph.com for more details.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Max George of The Wanted, he's 25 years old today. Isn't that Lindsay's buddy, the one she was traveling around on the party
stalking?
Bus with?
I think so, yeah.
Stalking? She was doing something on the tour bus. She was with the band for a while. Right. That's not stalking. That's closing the deal right there. Idris Elba. How great is that dude?
That dude is great.
He is great. Do you ever watch Luther from BBC America?
I feel like now's the time to jump on because the new season just started this week, and I think I need to because I hear wonderful things about it.
If you're not watching that, you're missing out. What a great
He's incredible, right?
He's a great actor. You've seen him in Thor, of course, and many other feature films. He's always terrific. 41 years old. Dolores O'Riordan from The Cranberries is 42. No, not Tarzan. Dolores O'Riordan.
Oh, it's Bean's impression.
42.
Very similar.
Michael Winslow. He's 55 years old today. Jeff Foxworthy is also 55. Roger Waters, singer-bassist for Pink Floyd, turned 70. And Nina Persson from The Cardigans is 39 years
wow.
old.
Wow.
I look forward to her birthday every year because then we get to play a little of the Kevin and Bean's legendary Cardigans interview.
It was strong.
It was
maybe the lowest point in the history of Kevin and Bean. That's really saying something. Here's the post-fight interview.
Nina, this morning's interview with Kevin and Bean, would you say it was the most fun you've ever had?
No.
Maybe we'll hear some more of the interview as the day progresses,
to say the least. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I got to give it up to Omar, who came up with the idea of saying the Armenian comedian doing
a podcast, and not only Sam, by the way, but Doto, and we can get around to it.
Absolutely. You know what I was, our stable of friends. What I figured out is, like, I'm like the Rick Rubin of like producing these comedy guys. You know what
sure.
I mean? Because let's face it, Sam, the Armenian comedian, he's a very, very talented guy. He just needs somebody to guide him through.
But he's raw.
He is, exactly.
So he needs someone like you, a guru.
Absolutely.
To help focus him.
Absolutely.
Well, I am horrified that this exists, but apparently the entire 27-minute Armenian Comedian podcast is available at Kerak.com or KevinAmin.com. You can check it out if you are a glutton for punishment, but I think you've just brought in a few select highlights from what you guys did, right?
I did. This is like, you know how a movie trailer, some movie trailers, show you the goodness?
Yeah.
And you go to the movie and you're kind of like, let down because all the good parts were in the trailer?
Right.
There are so many good parts
right.
to this thing, and I think it's more enjoyable in long form.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
No matter what this sounds like, you're going to love the
longer
version.
You're going to love the longer
version. The movie is better than the trailer. Because How often do you hear that?
Because here on this show, for time's sake, we have to edit stuff down.
Plus,
you know what I mean?
Plus people would leave the show if
right.
we played too much Sam.
And let me just give a 15-second background for folks who've never heard of the Armenian Comedian. He is a listener of the Kevin and Bean Show who fancies himself a comedian and a rock singer and a magician.
And a clown, right.
And he's kind of the cancer of the show. I would say he goes through periods where he's in remission on our program, but for whatever reason, he's just flaring up big time right now, thanks to Omar.
Absolutely. So, it was the first podcast, so I thought we would need a theme song for it.
Okay.
And so I tell Sam, I'm like, you have a name for the podcast? And he's like, yeah. I'm going to play you a bed, and you just go for it and record your intro.
Oh, I like it because you do the intros for this show.
Exactly.
But not for his.
No.
Right.
So, for time's sake, at the point that we pick up on the tape, we're about 30 seconds in.
Okay.
Here we go.
Are you going to say the name of the show at any time? This is your intro to your show.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, baby, why don't you get on the groove on the Armenian Comedian variety show?
Variety show?
Uh-huh. Get on the phone.
Phone.
Why don't you give me some of your meat?
He wants some of the meat or something.
What the hell?
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, right? I'm telling you.
I'm in.
So throughout the podcast, I'm the guy because Sam, I keep telling him, dude, I think we're losing the listeners. You got to tell comedy. Or what do you want to talk about next? Okay, so here is him telling a joke.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell a joke.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Why Michael Jackson?
That's the comedy llama.
That's the comedy llama?
Was
that you?
Yeah,
so you're interrupting him with that sound.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't throw him off.
By the way, he's so stoned right here. Okay. Just if you were wondering what that was.
Yeah. Why Michael Jackson?
Llama, right?
Omar. Is that a horny jackass you got back there?
Is that it? Or is there more?
Yeah, that's it. That's brilliant, huh?
Yeah. So you invite him down to do the podcast, and then you just torture him while he tries.
Yes.
I don't know what you hear, Bean. I hear that we're having a good time.
You two are having a real fun time.
Yeah. Here he is. Ask me. And keep in mind, I'm the guy who says yes or no or what I think is good for the show.
Right.
So he asked me to do something here.
And I want to do some Macarena of mine. It's called Get Up and Dance.
I don't do Macarena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he say some Macarena of mine?
Yeah, he wants to do some Macarena.
He had his own special Macarena.
At that point, I had no idea what he was talking about. And you just got to keep going
of
on,
course.
Sam, because if you try to figure out what he's talking about, you're going to waste countless hours.
Of course.
Okay, here, check this out. Come on, Sam. The show's sucking so far.
And away we go. What is the name of the horse?
That's it. That's all you got.
What do you mean?
Is that the beginning of a joke?
That was the beginning of a joke, and I'm not kidding. I had to cut it off, but I mean, I don't say anything for 10 seconds before he picks up, and he starts doing an impression of the horse race announcer. And he goes on for, like, you know, 30 seconds.
What the
hell? Doing a horse show. It's brilliant. I mean, this guy's a genius.
He is a genius.
I think
there's no question
about
that.
Head and shoulders above, you know, what our concept of comedy is.
So if we don't get it, it's us?
It's us, right.
Absolutely. Here's a perfect example of that.
Can I sing a song called You Are So Beautiful by Joe Cocker?
You said Cocker.
Yes.
You understand why that's funny, right?
Because my accent, huh?
Yes, that's exactly why that's
You see, it's like most of the people would think it's funny because of the C word.
Right.
But it's his accent.
Of course.
Okay, we don't get it.
He's right.
He's right.
That's a good choice of a song to sing on a podcast.
Absolutely.
Though.
Absolutely. Right.
Is that, does he sing that song on the podcast? Will I hear that?
He does a little bit of it, and then I cut him off because I was like, it gets too boring.
All right.
So I asked Sam, you know, what do you want to do now? I felt like there was a lull in the podcast. So he decides that he wants to do a magic trick. Here's Sam's attempt to do magic.
This is going to be great for radio.
Okay.
Awesome.
Pick a number in your mind. Don't tell me.
5.
Oh, I said don't tell me.
Oh, okay.
You have a number?
4.
In your mind.
Okay.
You have a number?
2.
In your mind, I said.
Oh, okay.
Don't tell me. Just keep it in your head.
Okay.
Are you Dutch?
He actually was going to call me stupid.
But he said Dutch?
He didn't continue. He kind of, like, you know, reserved himself and pulled himself back.
Oh, from attacking.
Yeah, because I looked at him. I'm like, what? What are you going to say?
It's
on. Yeah. And that chunk was edited for time. But, I mean, it goes on for like a minute and a half.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Where you keep saying the number.
Absolutely.
And he keeps...
Yeah. Awesome. It's very funny.
Love it.
Check this clip out. I don't know why he said this.
I'm all kinds of variety ladies men. I know every G-spot. Of your vein.
I'm very uncomfortable with this conversation, Sam.
You know, from time to time, he'll just start bringing up random stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he just go off on tangents.
Right.
So this is what
you know a lot about penis.
Oh, yeah, because I have one. Hey, pretty lady.
Now, I think he was trying to swoon the ladies there. I don't know.
Now, that's a recorder, which kids play when they are 6.
Yes. When they have no musical ability.
Right.
They give the kid the recorder. That's how that works.
Right. And then just out of nowhere, this happens.
Oh, I just drank this water. It made me cough.
Brilliant. Okay, so throughout the freaking entire podcast, he keeps asking me Macarena, okay? What I didn't understand is that there's a song on one of his CDs called Get Up and Dance.
Right.
And I guess he does the Macarena dance to this song. So throughout the entire thing, he wants me to play the Macarena, his song. But I look on the computer and I start playing the Macarena, right?
Right.
So this is what happens.
There's your Macarena, dude. Do your Macarena dance. Isn't this what you wanted?
No.
He said Macarena.
My get up and song. Get
up your and song? I'm not going to do that. It's not even on here.
It is there.
Oh, this song, no. I like this song better.
Do your
dance to this. Do your dance.
So he's been asking you for that song.
To do the Macarena
dance. For 25 minutes.
Right.
And when you play it, it ain't the right one.
It ain't the right one, but I tell him to dance, and I'm not kidding you guys, he dances for about 2 minutes, okay? And I'm just like there going, oh, you got the moves. He's doing like pelvic thrusts and everything.
Love
it. Oh, yeah.
So then he
he wants to do another dance.
Okay.
And this is what he's asking for.
I can do also the Gangnam Style.
Oh, you could do the Gangnam Style? That's very timely, Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Do the little horsey part.
I didn't
do the little horsey part.
Music.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
He knows it's a podcast, right?
That's awesome. This is perfect for radio. Oh, man. You got some moves there.
He's doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Wait, he's doing the... He's dancing to the...
He does it for...
With no music.
With no music for like a minute. The guy's a genius.
Now, is there video or just audio up? That's the website.
Video? Please.
No,
sadly,
just audio.
No, just audio. But next week I'm gonna have him come in Mr. Clown makeup.
Right.
Just to do the podcast. Just because I find it really funny. With no cameras.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work.
So you can pick it up at krock.com or kevinbean.com. I think it's brilliant.
What
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 626.
Hard to believe that that song is 30 years old. It sounds just as good today as it did back when it was in the movie Valley Girl.
It's new, actually.
That's the soundtrack
just
of Valley
came out a couple
Girl,
months
right?
ago. No, it's a brand new song from Fits in the Tantrums. Just came out like a couple months ago.
Okay, whatever.
Their latest.
Whatever you say, buddy.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show means this. The
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I'm sorry, Bean, what's the segment called again?
Movie Beat.
No. Kevin, for some reason, didn't want you to be able to say that.
Oh, he said this. No, I thought that was an out. I thought that was a good intro.
We're just trying to run a tight ship here, Ralph. That's all.
A lot of interesting movies coming out this weekend. From a limited release, small, quirky comedies, all the way up to big blockbuster action pictures. You have your choice this weekend. Let's start off with a film that came out of Sundance. Was met with a lot of acclaim there. It's quirky. It's charming. It's got Ellen Page in it, of course, because that's what she does.
Sure.
It's called Touchy Feely. It's the story of a massage therapist who suddenly is stricken with a mysterious aversion to bodily contact. Can't touch anyone. That puts a crimp in her style at work, right?
I would think so.
And meanwhile, her loser brother, who has a floundering dental practice, he starts
getting... afraid of teeth?
You know, an influx of clients when he has suddenly this healing touch that no one can explain. See, it's touchy-feely. It's about touching feelings and things, and it's quirky, and it's nuts, and...
Okay.
Rosemary DeWitt stars along with Ellen Page, Josh Pais, and an actor named Scoot McNairy, I insist we have on.
Scoot,
I don't care who he is or what he does. We need Scoot McNairy to be a guest on our show. So we can just say, so, Scoot, how's the career going so far? Here are some clips from the trailer of Touchy Feely.
Jesse asked me to move in with him. I don't want him to touch me. I can't connect.
Why don't you come over here and I'll give you a back rub?
I don't know. Hi.
Abby's not here.
Do you want to go maybe see some music with me? Have you ever wanted to kiss someone so badly that it hurts your skin?
I mean, you know I love Abby, right?
Your energy is off. It's fearful.
I need you to fix me, please.
You can fix yourself.
He says you cured him. Thank you.
Oh.
Look what you are doing for people.
See?
What else you got, Ralph?
It's about feelings, but it's also about feeling with your hands. So it's an allegory, if you will. It's symbolic, and yet it's literal.
Is that the only movie that opens today?
Sadly, no.
Okay, good.
There are other films. Great documentary. I've been looking forward to this since I've heard about it. It's called Salinger. It is an unprecedented look inside the private world of legendary author J.D. Salinger, who, of course, gave us Catcher in the Rye.
And then put his head in the sand for the rest of his life?
More or less. Franny and Zoe was another smash hit book he had. And then he kept writing, but he stopped publishing in 1965. He would write this stuff, but he would never publish it. And he lived like a recluse. No one ever saw him. He had his mail sent to a post office box. He would go surreptitiously and pick that up.
Dumb question. Still alive?
No longer.
No longer with us.
No.
Okay.
But
which is the only reason this movie is allowed to be released, by the way.
Yeah, his friends and family are finally starting to talk about him, but they took pretty much an oath of silence when it came to him and his life as well. A lot of celebrities also interviewed in this film, from people who his work had an enormous impact on, like Edward Norton and John Cusack, Judd Apatow, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Here are some scenes from the trailers of Salinger.
Salinger suffered a nervous breakdown.
He's got this concrete bunker where he works.
He has a very fanatical readership.
If one person used something I had written as their justification for killing somebody, I'd say, God, people are crazy.
I was literally living inside of J.D. Salinger's A Catch in the Rye.
But if three people used something I had written as justification, I would be very, very troubled by it.
Yeah, imagine being that guy and your book keeps showing up in the back pockets of these high-profile
murderers. I did it because
of
his book.
Yeah. Weird stuff, but a fascinating life, interesting story, and reportedly a great documentary. Speaking of documentaries, and speaking of people who were killed by guys who had Catcher in the Rye in their pocket, a documentary about the Beatles is coming out this weekend.
All right.
Limited release. Well, Kevin, I know you're quick to mock, but this is an interesting perspective because this is the story of the woman who was the lifelong secretary for the Beatles.
Oh, like an assistant?
No, not an assistant, a secretary. They needed a secretary, someone to answer their fan mail and someone to write people back and type their letters and sort of run their business affairs. Very early in their careers, they had just a little work that needed to be done. Imagine you get that job and then the Beatles become what they become and that becomes your life. Frida Kelly was her name. She was the longtime secretary for the band. And this documentary is called Good Old Frida. That's what they used to call her.
And good time, Frida.
I know. How dare you, sir. Although she did have crushes on the Beatles. Here's Frida talking about her career as their secretary.
In the beginning, the lads were in the office nearly every single day. You know, they just popped in and out. They would sit by my desk for a chat or while they were waiting to go into Appy's office. So I got to know them more. I mean, I was 17, so naturally I did have crushes on them.
Did you go out with any of them?
No.
Not as far as you know, interviewer.
Yeah, she was so lying. That pause told everything, didn't it?
Imagine being a 17-year-old British girl in the 60s and being the secretary to the Beatles.
That'd be pretty
weird. No, I can't even imagine what that was. What it must have been hell for her with her friends at school. I mean, imagine how she was just supposed to have been assaulted for information.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Riddick comes out this weekend. Hey, Vin Diesel, how do you feel about your movie?
I hope you're not afraid of the dark.
Wow, it's uncanny.
It gets better, doesn't it?
It does. He, of course, Vin Diesel is reprising his role as Riddick here in this third film of the franchise. Left on a dead, sun-scorched planet, Riddick finds himself up against an alien race of predators, and he has to take them on and also take on the mercenaries who are coming after him. Here, Vin Diesel is asking Katie Sackhoff, who's also in the film, if she has any last wishes before he does her in.
Grant any last wishes? I was referring to you.
Not that the chains aren't a hot look. But no, I'm not going to straddle you in front of all these guys.
What if I killed all of them first?
Easy, boy. There's a lot more trank where that came from.
Trank him! Trank him! Because it's going to be bad things are going to happen.
I love her.
He's Riddick.
Yeah.
You don't love her.
I do.
You don't. Are you watching Longmire?
Yes.
No, you're not. She's great on that show. And I love her. And that's why I'm watching Longmire and you're not. And lastly, Hellbaby. Hellbaby opens up.
There it is. You must see Hellbaby.
A couple moves into a haunted house in New Orleans and has to call upon the services of the Vatican's elite exorcism team to save them from their demonic baby. This is just ridiculous. Rob Corddry, Leslie Bibb, Thomas Lennon, Robert Ben-Gurion. This is just, it's just nothing but goofy laughs and just a funny, funny movie. In limited release this weekend, here's some clips from the trailer to Hell Baby.
It's not like anybody got moneyed up in here yesterday.
Probably more like 3.5, maybe 2.5. I go like two months in a week.
I think my wife might be possessed by a demon.
We need a doctor.
No. We need a priest.
People, they think that the devil is made up like Santa Claus. But I assure you, the devil is real. He's a dick.
That's true. Devil's a dick. A lot of good choices this weekend. Most of them in limited release. Even Hellbaby's in limited release. You're going to have to work a little harder to see any of these films, except for Riddick. That'll be in theaters everywhere. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
I was surprised to see two things yesterday. One, that Rush Limbaugh has a children's book coming out.
What?
Surprising.
And two, that it is already number one on the book list on Amazon.com based on pre-orders. Doesn't come out till the end of October. So many people want a Rush Limbaugh children's book that it's already selling number one on Amazon. What's up with that?
What is it? Is it fiction?
It is called Rush Revere and the Brave Pilgrims, Time Travel Adventures with Exceptional Americans. And apparently this is Rush Limbaugh's attempt to set the record straight. He does not feel that history is being taught correctly to our children.
Ah.
So Uncle Rush wants to set the record straight on how things really went down in American history. And we wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Dave, could he get Rush on the line from his home in Florida? And I believe we have him right now. Hi, Rush.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
Well, we're good. We're fine. A little surprised to see your latest adventure here with the children's book.
A book of necessity, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Important to teach children the truth about American history, not as the liberal elite would have us believe.
Now, the other side is saying that that is the truth as well. How do we know which of you is telling the truth?
Well, if you know anything about me, my friends, you know I tell the truth.
Okay.
I get the story out there as it is, not as they wish it was.
I see.
Or how you want it to be.
Now, you don't have children. You and the latest Mrs. Limbaugh, I won't bother to learn her name, but you guys don't have kids, right?
We do not have children, no. And that's why I feel all of America's children are my children.
Okay. And my question is, what has your experience been with hearing that children are being taught incorrectly? Like, where do you get that impression from, Rush?
All you need to do, my friends, is read a history book, read one of these so-called textbooks that they're using to teach history these days in school.
Right.
And you will see that these lies, these slants, these liberal biases are being passed on to our children as true history. And that's why Rush Revere and the Brave Pilgrims has to jump into the breach, as it were, and teach the truth.
Really, you have to put yourself in the place of Paul Revere?
No, it just so happens that the time traveler in the book is named Rush Revere.
That's all. I see. Yes. Okay.
All right. Can you give us an example, Mr. Limbaugh, of how you think your version of the story gets it right and so far mainstream textbooks get it wrong?
Well, the book is called Rush Revere and the Brave Pilgrims, Time Travel Adventures with Exceptional Americans.
That's a good title for kids.
And Rush Revere.
They should love it.
Rush Revere is a time traveler, my friend, sort of like a Doctor Who character.
Okay.
But without the bad teeth and socialized medicine.
Okay. All right.
He's
fine.
An American time traveler.
So you go back in time.
Automatically makes him better.
Okay.
And he goes back in time to interact throughout great periods in American history.
To reteach children what really happened.
To teach them the truth.
I see. Okay.
About
right.
American history. That's correct, my friends.
All right. Now, like what? Give us an example of something that's wrong in the textbook.
Well, let me
correct.
Give you an example by reading you a little something from Rush Revere and the Brave Pilgrims.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Sit back,
love
relax,
it.
And Uncle Rushbo will read to you, boys and girls. You ready for a little taste?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Rush.
Rush Revere was happy to be back in 1776, a time when rich white people ran and owned America. They believed in slavery. Not that that's a good thing, but they were happy that they could rescue those African Americans from that horrible country of Africa.
That's not how
by
they
bringing
would look
them to America, the land of opportunity. Why, thank you, Founding Fathers, said black people as they got off the boats.
I don't think that's how it happened at all.
They were in chains.
All right, let me read you from another chapter.
All right. I'm shaky at best.
Rush Revere was happy to be in the middle of World War II.
Okay.
Because the Nazis were not that bad.
Oh,
Rush, what are you doing here?
It turned out they had some pretty good ideas.
No, that's not the case at all.
That Hitler gets a bum rap, Rush thought to himself.
What's happening here? This is for kids?
A lot of lefties paint Adolf Hitler out to be a bad guy, Rush said.
He was a bad guy.
Turns out he had some pretty good ideas, especially about the gays.
Oh,
okay. My God.
Rush, this is not appropriate.
For God's
this is
sake.
The truth, my friend. That's not what they want you to believe. Here's another chapter.
All right.
Rush Revere ended up in the middle of New York City. He said, wow, there's a lot of smelly immigrants here. I wonder how we can change that. He said to his trusty llama.
Wait, he had a llama?
Imagine Rush Revere has a llama sidekick.
What?
Turns out children love llamas. My friend.
Now I'm in.
Now we're all in. I think that makes it easy to go down right there. That's not a good sound, Rush.
How much money do I have to pay you to get out of this bit?
Two reasons you should stick around to the Kevin and Bean Show. One, the hilarious Paul F. Tompkins joins us right after the top of there. We got him in just a few minutes. And then at 8 o'clock this morning, how about this? Brand new music from Coldplay. Going to play a new Coldplay song for you called Atlas out of the Hunger Games soundtrack. That's 1 hour from right now. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
This is going to come as a shock to you, but Mel Gibson had an angry encounter with some Malibu cops last weekend.
No
what?
Way.
Yeah.
Model citizen Mel Gibson?
He usually gets along so well with those Malibu
yeah.
cops. Especially the ones with the sugar boobs. The good news is he was sober during the encounter and reportedly left the Jews out of it. So that's good news. This is coming from TMZ.com.
Did he say,
you should just smile and me?
Pretty much.
Because I deserve it.
Did he say,
how do you feel about the Jews?
Yeah, I don't think he did say that. He left them out of this one. Mel rolled up on a DUI checkpoint on PCH around 1 a.m. Saturday morning.
I don't care.
And deputies reportedly asked Mel if he had been drinking. He said no. Cops had no reason to suspect otherwise, but there was a problem. They asked him to produce his licenses and registration like they do.
Right.
And Mel didn't have it on him. So the deputies had to take him to a secondary screening spot for a little bit more conversation about the issue.
Which they would do with any of us.
Well, to get you out of the way so they can keep on with the checkpoint, people going through, and they pull you over if they have an issue with you, and they work it out. Well, at this point, that's when Mel went off. Why are you harassing me? He started to scream.
No license.
Deputies asked Mel why he was screaming, and he responded, I've had problems with you Lost Hill deputies in the past.
Apparently, I don't care.
Everyone calmed down at some point, and Mel was let off with a warning. So, that turned out better than the last time he had to run in with those guys.
It was close, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how close were we to having another meltdown?
I'm sure. And plus, have you seen him lately? He's just jacked.
I've not seen him.
Yeah, he's scary
huge.
Looking.
So I'm sure he's got the roids coursing through him, and it's just going to be an amazing just meltdown at some point that I'm looking forward to, because he's got it all. You guys looking forward to that CBGB movie?
Could be interesting.
I can't wait. Looks great to me. Alan Rickman, I just think, is a brilliant actor.
He's great.
He plays, of course, the owner of the CBGBs. And a lot of great people are playing the musical stars who got their start there. Taylor Hawkins, for example, is doing Iggy Pop, and Malin Ackerman. It's just a great cast. Recently, the legendary the bathroom at that nightclub, which was known for being just the pit of hell.
Right.
Was recreated for a punk rock exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Well, there is a similar club in the UK, in Manchester, called the Hacienda, which had a similar reputation amongst music fans. New Order got its start there. Happy Mondays, Stone Roses, Morrissey. And now you can own the steel urinals that were used in that bathroom of that nightclub yourself.
That is not an item I want.
You can get those urinals on eBay right now. They said the stainless steel urinals have not been washed since the club closed in 1997. So there's chance that there's some Morrissey pee still in there.
I'm not scouring the internet looking for Morrissey
pee. Would you like some Morrissey pee?
No.
You can buy one of these urinals.
No.
That's gross.
Currently on eBay, you can buy one of the urinals. What do you think the starting bid is?
Whatever it is, it's too much.
I think you'll change your mind when
you hear it. A dollar?
$23,000.
Oh, my God.
$23,000.
Yep.
Listen, people want Morrissey P. And that's just truth.
It's science.
That's science.
Please. Look at the note there, Ralph. You got a couple minutes.
Okay. One more story then, then we'll move on. Alec Baldwin's got a new gig. There was rumors that he might host his own talk show for MSNBC, and it looks like those rumors have come to pass. He's getting a Friday night talk show on MSNBC called Up Late with Alec Baldwin. It'll launch in October, and it'll be Alec Baldwin talking to newsmakers and people of interest that he thinks have something to say.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
It's from his interview with Rush Limbaugh. So, looking forward to hearing
weird
that.
For MSNBC to be hiring a white liberal guy to be on their channel.
That's
true. Stepping out.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Max George of The Wanted's 25 years old today. Nina Persson from The Cardigans is 39. Idris Elba's 41. Dolores O'Riordan of The Cranberries is 42. Michael Winslow turns 55 years old today. Jeff Foxworthy is also 55. Boy, he's like Attack of the B-listers today in terms of birthday celebrities. And Roger Waters of the legendary band Pink Floyd. Was he pink? Was he the pink? Was he pink?
He was Floyd.
Oh, okay. He's 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7-Eleven. Oh, it's the best time of the whole day.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, I think I saw yesterday that Rise Against, who we were just playing right there on K-Rock, has a new album of early stuff and demos and covers and things like that from the early days of the career that they just put out, and it goes on sale on Tuesday. We are streaming it through krock.com. So if you're a Rise Against fan, you want to hear, catch up on some stuff maybe you missed the first time around, go to krock.com, and don't forget, brand new Coldplay for you at 8 this morning. Tonight on Comedy Central at 11 o'clock, once again, it's John Oliver's New York stand-up show, but because he's a foreigner, he's letting an American do the heavy lifting to promote this show. The great Paul F. Tompkins joins us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Paul. Isn't it just like a European to sit back and let America do all the heavy lifting today, huh?
I know. When are we going to be done being the world's promotioner?
USA!
Exactly. So you and your good friend John Oliver, who else is on this show tonight?
Two very funny comedians, Ali Wong and Trayvon Free. And I think this is Trayvon's television debut, actually. He's a writer for The Daily Show and a very funny stand-up, and this is his first time on television. So it's a wonderfully funny and diverse show.
Now, we had Mr. Oliver on a couple of weeks ago talking about Daily Show stuff, but I had not checked out his stand-up show. Is it just stand-up one right after another, or is there some sketch involved, some improv, a little bit of everything? What?
It is as the name promises, it is in New York, and it is stand-up, and okay. John Oliver hosts it. Every aspect of that title checks out.
Now, does John Oliver do stand-up as well, or does he just bring you on?
He does a set up top of the show, and I can't believe that he, has a... And it's not just like a tossed off like a couple jokes and then he brings on comedians. It's a full set, you know, that he does of original material, and it's really great. I like his stuff a lot, and I like the way his mind works, and I think he's a very sharp and smart stand up.
For a Brit.
So, yeah, of course. That's
okay. Yeah, he's no American. Let's not be crazy.
everything I say, of course, filter it through for not being American, right. It's okay.
Exactly. Now, one of the reasons I enjoy following you on Twitter, Paul, is that you seem to and I don't know if it's just that you're so cool that you have cool friends, or if you're just one of those guys like Forrest Gump who finds himself in situations with famous people that you never could have predicted. But I want to throw a couple of names out, and I want some context for how you ended up, for instance, apparently spending a day with Jane Fonda recently. How does something like that happen?
That was one of the weirdest things that has happened to me in my entire career.
Were you just high and thinking that you were spending the day with her?
Oh, yeah. Man, that never occurred to me.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. Ben Schwartz, who's a very funny comic actor, and he's on plays John Ralphio on Parks and Recreation.
Yes,
that's
great.
He's on House of Lies on Showtime. He does this live show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in L.A. Called Snow Pants, which is an improv show where it's a six-person show, and four of the people are seasoned improv actors, and then two of them are people that either have never done improv or have done very little. And that night, it was, as the people that have not done a lot of improv or none, was me and Jane Fonda.
Oh, my God, that's bizarre.
Yeah, and Ben, you know, he kind of books the show very last minute. He's very spontaneous, and he's able to talk anybody into anything. And so he emailed me that day and said, "Hey, can you do the show tonight? The other guest is Jane Fonda."
And you thought, I can out-improv her.
I think I can make time for that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm going to go there. Crush her.
I don't know how much you had a chance to talk to her offstage, but why would... She's got to be 75 years old, an Oscar winner.
She's 75.
Yeah, her legacy is secure. She's phenomenal on the newsroom. She's getting tremendous reviews for her, acting even today. Why do you think she wanted to hang, clown around with guys like you?
I think that part of it is that she did a movie with Ben. That's where they met, and he just makes everything seem like a good idea. that is a gift that he has. Like, hey, it's going to be fun. It's no big deal. It's going to be fun. And then she got there, and she was saying backstage, "I am really scared of this."
Of course.
but I but I think that that I ultimately I think that's why she did it, and it was really inspiring that somebody who's been doing what you know, the career as long as she's had is still looking for stuff that's going to be challenging and new. And she was amazing. Like, she jumped right in. She was fearless. She committed to everything. She never broke character, any character that she was playing. She was she went for it, man. She really
that
went
is
for
fun.
It. It was
did
very inspiring.
Did she wipe the floor with you?
Yeah, she did. I really choked. I froze.
Your friend Ben sounds like the kind of guy that you hang out with enough, and then you find yourself like ending up at Burning Man or something like that. You have no idea, like, how did he talk me into this? He makes everything sound fun. I love that. That's funny. And let me ask you. Yeah. Let me ask you one more, and we only have another minute here with the great Paul F. Tompkins here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can see him on Comedy Central tonight with John Oliver for the New York Stand Up Show. You also explained Twitter to the great Harry Dean Stanton recently, and I'm trying to imagine how much time that took, because he's also very old and seems like a guy who wouldn't care at all about technology.
Yeah, he is 87 years old, and he is a world. He was in the Navy in World War II. He was on the Doug Benson, Doug Loves Movies podcast, on which I was a guest as well. And Doug said something about Twitter, and then wanted to move on. And Harry Dean Stanton wanted to know what Twitter was, and Doug gave him a jokey response, and wanted to move on. And he said, "No, I want to know what this is. What are you talking about?" And then Jen Kirkman, the other guest on the show, she tried to explain it, also being kind of jokey, and everybody laughed. And he said, "No,
you
got
to
tell me what this is."
I like that.
He's been asking for
weeks. So so it fell to me to give Harry Dean Stanton a serious explanation of what Twitter was. And at the end of it, he said, "It sounds boring."
Well, Twitter really does sound, no matter how much you love Twitter, and I know that you use it quite a bit, Paul, when you explain it to someone, it really sounds stupid, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's why everybody's first response is, so it's people writing about what they had for lunch that day. And it's like, that's not what it is.
Unfortunately, that's
what Instagram.
That's what Instagram is.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you are not only the best dressed man in comedy, you live a fascinating life, and we will look forward to seeing you on the TV tonight. Comedy Central at 11 o'clock for John Oliver's New York Stand-Up Show. Always great when we get a few minutes to catch up with you, Paul. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, it's always nice to chat with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I know we make fun of, some of the music that we play, like the Ramones from the 70s sometimes, but lately some really good new songs on K-Rock, including that one, the Tame Impala song Elephant, here on the world famous K-Rock. And in about 30 minutes from right now, straight up 8 o'clock, brand new Coldplay. It is called Atlas, and it's from the new Hunger Games Catching Fire soundtrack. That's on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about how far you went to meet a celebrity. Let's face it, we all have that one celebrity, most of us do, that we would do anything to meet.
Absolutely. Given the opportunity, I will swim a mile if that's what it takes, if I can meet fill in the blank. Exactly.
But not you. You're just giving an example for a normal person.
Right.
Right. You're not swimming a mile.
I don't know that I'd swim. I might swim a mile for some people.
You couldn't swim a mile if your life depended on it.
This story that Ralph did a couple of days ago I thought was fascinating. We want to take your telephone calls because I know we have some crazy listeners who love a lot of celebrities. And let's face it, in Southern California in particular, you have the opportunity to, I don't want to say stalk. That's too strong a word. But you have the opportunity to perhaps know where they're going to be and go to extraordinary lengths to be with them.
Let's say pursue.
Okay, fine. And that is the case with a woman in Pasadena. She is unnamed in the article. She is in her 40s, and her favorite actor is Simon Baker, the star of The Mentalist. Well, she found out that they were filming Mentalist scenes just a few blocks away from where she lived. She jumps into her brand new BMW, which, by the way, she has had, what did the article say, 3 days, I think?
I think so, yeah.
3 days. Raced over to the set to try to get a glimpse of Simon Baker. She did not see the barricades blocking off the street. She swerved sharply and crashed into the equipment truck, wrecking her car.
How do you not see barricades in the middle of a street you're driving on?
Because she's looking to the side trying to spot Simon Baker.
Simon?
I guess so. She says, oh, my God, I've only had this car for 3 days, and now look what I've done. But this article says it was not a total loss because Simon Baker walked up to her and said, this is one hell of a way to try to meet someone, and she got a picture taken with Simon Baker. So all's well that ends well for her. Very cool of him, by the way, to not be terrified.
Yeah,
no kidding. Woman who would drive into the equipment truck to try to get near him.
She wants to meet me? Yeah. She drove her car, 3-day-old car, into a truck? Yeah. All right. Tell her I'm gone.
Right, exactly. We were talking to, and again, we're going to take your phone calls if you ever went to extraordinary lengths to try to meet a celebrity. We were talking to director Morgan Spurlock a couple of weeks ago. He's the director of that One Direction film that's in theaters. And he was telling us the stuff that these girls do, like getting in the, you know, when the One Direction's coming to town, they'll get in the elevator and just ride the elevator up and down, up and down, up and down for hours.
All day, just hoping
that somebody from One Direction is going to get on the elevator. I mean, that's the kind of planning ahead that some people do to meet somebody.
Oh my God.
Or if they booked a whole floor, he said some of them would get, you know, a room on the floor below, try to walk up the stairs. I mean, there's just 100 different ways to do it.
I heard of a guy who went on a charity website, and bid $7,000.
That guy's an idiot, though.
To walk the red carpet with Scarlett Johansson at the We Bought a Zoo movie premiere. Did you guys hear about that
dude? Yeah, that guy was.
What a loser.
Maybe the dumbest man alive.
$7,000. And then I heard he found out afterwards it was in New York and he didn't know that, so he didn't go and he just lost the money. Yeah. I also heard that's how that story
ended. That was Bean.
Yeah.
All right, Julie, you hang on. We're going to get to you first when we return. She waited 36 hours to meet a celebrity. 3 days of her life she gave up. We'll find out which celebrity, and we'll take your calls to. What extraordinary lengths did you go to meet a famous person? 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. We are talking about the extraordinary lengths that you went to meet a celebrity. I promised we'd go to Julie first. Lisa, you're telling me that 36 hours does not equal 3 days.
Yes, it's more like a day.
Is that 12 hours in a day like I thought?
No, it's more like 24.
Okay,
all right.
This is why you don't let girls do math. All right, Julie, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. Tell us about your celebrity.
Happy Friday, boys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
I've loved this guy since 21 Jump Street days, and that would be, of course, Johnny Depp.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And heard he would be at the Disney California Adventure for the Lone Ranger premiere, so I decided to go camp out, waited about 36 hours, got in front of him, and, of course, it was awestruck. It was also my birthday.
Wait,
so I had him ink my back.
Oh,
or sign my back.
So you actually you actually spoke to him?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He wished me a happy birthday. I wished him a happy birthday. I had him sign my back. And, of course, now I have his signature on my back.
You got it tattooed?
Uh-huh.
How about that? So it worked out for you. So what did you do during that 36 hours? Just sit there and just daydream about what you were going to say to him?
I was with a bunch of other lunatics that day. Hi to all my friends that were with me that day. And we just stayed up all night, didn't eat, didn't sleep, and all of us got our memorabilia signed that day.
I like that you realize you're nutty.
Exactly. At least you know you're crazy. All right, thank you very much for the call, Julie. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Julie.
Let's go to Carrie. Carrie is on line 4. Carrie, thanks for calling. What celebrity did you semi-stalk?
Good morning, gentlemen. Lisa May.
Hello.
Out to see Alyssa Cuthbert.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Good.
Which is worth staying out for, obviously.
Agreed.
And she was filming an episode of Happy Endings in my building downtown L.A.
Okay.
So I took out my dog out for a walk and kept walking for 6 hours until she went between the elevator and back to the trailer area where they were set up.
Because were you using your dog as bait?
I was. He's very good bait. He's been a lot of.
Well, he was until he died that day from being too exhausted to live. 6 hours. You can't walk a dog for 6 hours.
Not him. No, he was tired.
But you ended up meeting her.
So what did you say to her? Like, she wasn't expecting to meet a fan there. Did you just run up to her? Did you bum rush her?
I try to play it cool and, you know, my dog wants to say hi. Is that okay?
Nice. So
that's not bad.
Oh, yeah. That's strong.
That would work.
Especially if it's strong. A cute dog.
Yep.
Right, and he is. And I slyly slipped my camera phone to her escort who took a picture of us.
Oh, very nice.
All right. It's a win.
Thank you very much for the call. The dog over to her and let her say hi.
Thank you. The dog's mangled corpse. Let's go to Tyler. He's on line 1. Kevin, you're going to appreciate the effort Tyler went to meet his favorite celebrity.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Who's your favorite celebrity?
Kobe Bryant.
All right. And what did you do to try and meet him?
Well, I went down to the Lakers practice in El Segundo,
mm-hmm.
and I got through security, got into the building and saw him practicing and tried to hop over to give him a high five. And as I was hopping over, I was grabbed by security.
Yeah.
They frown on the whole high five the celebrity thing.
Yeah.
They don't really want you to jump really onto the court.
That. Yeah.
So Kobe actually ended up coming over and gave me a high five and then went back to practice.
Well, that was cool.
So yeah, you went to an awful lot of trouble to just touch another man's hand. Do you feel like it was worth it?
Absolutely. It's Kobe Bryant, so it's not just a man. It's a hero. It's in my eyes. All right. You know what I mean?
Have you washed that hand since?
No, I haven't, actually.
Okay. All right, good.
I have a plastic bag around it right now.
Everybody avoid Tyler. He's got a nasty hand.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jackie. Jackie's on line 3, and she's up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Jackie. You've heard what we're looking for. Extraordinary lengths you went to meet a celebrity.
Exactly.
And who's your celebrity?
My celebrity was Mick Jagger.
Okay. That might be difficult.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi.
Hello.
So what'd you do?
Okay, so I worked for the airlines at the time, and I found out that they were the Stones were coming in on a flight into Denver. So my girlfriend and I flew to Denver. They didn't actually get off a commercial flight, so then we had the bright idea to follow any limo that was around. We got lucky, followed the limo to a private airport,
mm-hmm.
and waited for somebody to kind of be coming through the gate and then snuck into that private airport.
Okay,
so now it's dusk. We had bought roses at the airport in Stapleton. And then we're holding the roses, so we go into dodge mode. We started seeing security guards and trucks going around.
And how long did you have to avoid security before you did or did not meet the band?
About 4 hours.
4 hours.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's a lot of time to loiter around an airport.
Well, we didn't loiter. We found a big old semi-truck that was open, and we just went and hid inside the cab.
All right.
For a long time.
Okay.
The only thing we had ended him.
We're out of time, Jackie. Did you end up meeting Mick Jagger?
We certainly did. We just piled out of the truck when we saw the private jet land. They had a red carpet pulled out, walked up to a bodyguard who saw that we were young girls with roses, and he just let us go, and all of a sudden Jagger comes up to us. We kissed him, and that was it.
How about that? A happy ending.
Was it worth it?
Yes, we actually got free tickets to the Stones.
Nice.
Concert the next day and rode up in a limo with them. It's a long story, but anyway.
Wow. How's Mick in bed?
I didn't find that out, okay? I was married at the time.
You are a
liar,
Jackie.
They were only in the back of a car, Kevin. Come on.
You are a liar and a liar.
Thanks, Jackie. Next on the Kevin Bean Show, we'll play some brand new Coldplay for you. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, tonight is Friday night, and we're doing a Hollywood Babylon show, me and Kevin Smith, down there at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. And here's how much I love you. A lot of people say, we want to come see Babylon, but, you know, the times are tough, and I don't have any money right now, so I just listen to the free podcast. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give away 2 pairs of tickets to go see us tonight at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon tonight. 2 winners will each get a pair of tickets to come see us. If you call 1-800-520-1067 right now, the first 2 callers who get through will get a pair of tickets to see Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith tonight at the Improv on Melrose. That's how much I love you. I'm taking food out of my kid's mouth. That's right. I'm giving away free tickets. So my 3-year-old daughter is not going to eat because I'm giving you free tickets.
Think
now. I hope you're happy.
Accurate.
I hope you're happy. I give and I give and I give it, and I can't give no more. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Lamar Odom.
Guilty.
Depending on who you talk to, either did not check into rehab at all or got there, turned around, and left again. Either
because
way,
rehab is for quitters.
Either way, he is completely cured. So congratulations. Oh, that worked out well for you.
That's Lamar not Odom. Good.
Yeah. Where it is now, he's out there in the wind, and nobody really knows where he is or what he's doing. Is that
guilty.
A good thing?
Seems bad.
Okay. I think we got it. He's guilty. You guys like the Rhino record, people?
I love the Rhino record people. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's really an amazing success story. A small record store here in L.A. went on to start up pretty much the coolest record company ever. They grew Their market of re-release collections of pop, rock, and R&B songs, as well as homegrown novelty records, happened in the late 80s. Anyway, there's a new book out called The Rhino Records Story, Revenge of the Music Nerds.
Won it?
Be, yes, no. I knew about it. I wrote the foreword. Anyway, it'll be out on October the 22nd. If you are a fan of new wave collections from the 90s or hits of the 70s, any cheesy single you remember from AM radio back in the day, as well as 90s and new wave.
It's a book
stuff.
About cheese. And
it is,
loves
but,
cheese.
But it's good stuff. There's a lot of great music that never would have seen the light of day, who had disappeared if they hadn't picked it up and repackaged it and remastered it and re-released it. A lot of bands owe their revived careers to Rhino because it exposed a whole new generation to their music. So
yeah, a lot of record labels were just letting things just go out of print, and Rhino said, hey, people still like some of this music. Let's keep putting it out. And they figured out a way to make it work. They created a whole new industry, really, basically, with their re-releases.
Anyway, sounds like an interesting book. I just want to let people know it's going to be out there on October the 22nd if you want to pick it up.
Thank you, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is 70 years old today. Jeff Foxworthy's 55. Michael Winslow, also 55, from the Police Academy movies. Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries is 42. Idris Elba, 41. Nina Persson from the Cardigans is 39. Yeah, they don't love you.
No, nope, they don't. They sure don't.
And Max George of The Wanted is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Brand new music.
Awfully dramatic, isn't it?
Brand new music from Coldplay.
Sounds like it's from a movie.
Called Atlas. We should play that again.
It is from a movie. It's from the Hunger Games Catching Fire soundtrack.
You were hoping I would fill that in.
I was. I thought you might know that and you might oop my alley, but apparently they're doing something else. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I would hear that. I would like to hear that again. It's the first new Coldplay song in a long, long time. Let's roll Atlas one more time, shall we, since it's brand new? Good deal for a Friday. New Coldplay on K-Rock.
Again. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and you are listening to brand new Coldplay. The song is called Atlas. We should play that again.
Nope. Although it does sound like it's from a movie, Kevin.
I got nothing. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. It's in Hunger Games.
You're Kevin and Bean. Man, Coldplay rocks my ass off so hard. Yes, they do, Ryan. That is, again, brand new called Atlas. Hey, we're going to introduce you to two things this hour that you're going to stick around on the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, Billy Corgan is now making Christian rock. We'll let you think about that for a moment, and we'll explain coming up. And second of all, there is a new song that has set the internet on fire from some Norwegian guys, and it is a song, A, unlike anything you've ever heard before, and B, once you hear it, you'll never forget it. And we have that coming up for you this hour as well. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. This is where you call us 24/7. Leave a voicemail message for us at what's the number? 323-520-AFRO. And I think we had a lot of calls on a lot of different topics this week to hear.
Yeah, I missed a couple of days because I had to go to a doctor's appointment in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And so Omar called me from the Nine Inch Nails show at the Troubadour, as they are one of my favorite bands.
Yo, hey, Kevin. Hey, Kevin. It's Omar. Hey, dude, I hope you can hear me. Hey, I picked up all that Coke that you wanted for tonight. We're at Nine Inch Nails. The show just started. I'll see you in a bit, dude. All right, you owe me $180 for the Coke. See ya.
How dare you. Now, first of all, I think he's marking up whatever he's selling you. But second of all, did it kill you to have Nine Inch Nails playing the Troubadour and you could go, yet you couldn't go?
Yes. Yes, it killed
that
me.
That had to hurt.
And that's why it's nice that Omar called and made me feel worse.
He was thinking of you.
Thank you, Omar. Very nice.
Listening to the podcast and What's Up with Florida, Floridians or Floridiots? Huh? See what I'm saying? Floridiots.
Yes, I do.
We should have thought of that.
We should have thought of that. Damn.
How the hell are we hiding that beautiful voice? Associate producer Christine? Oh, my God. Didn't realize it, but after you guys finished talking about her story of weddings and mishaps, the only mishap that was going on was the I had in my pants. I didn't realize it was going on.
Christine does have a very sexy voice, by the way.
Hey, can we get Associate Producer Christine back on the radio, please? Because I think I won't while I listen to her. So hot. She sounds hot.
I don't think that helps us want to do that.
No, it doesn't. We don't want to really cause that kind of behavior to our listeners.
Another call from the Troubadour.
Kevin, where are you? Remember that time we saw Raging Us in the scene of the tube? This is so much better!
That was the girl you thought sounded sexy, by the way. And she's yelling.
I haven't been listening for a couple of weeks. When is the next episode of The New Detective coming on?
It's this Monday or the following Monday. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly.
We stopped doing that feature in 1964. Oddly enough. DeJuan called, Bean.
Oh, DeJuan.
What up, Kevin and Bean? This is DeJuan Johnson here. I really do miss you guys. Did you guys spoke with Michael Jackson while he's in heaven? All right, tell him I'll say hello for me. All right.
Peace out. We spoke to Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm,
And we sent along your very best, DeJuan, so it's all taken care of. Let's
leave it at that. I don't exactly know what angered this girl, but we do not want to cross her.
Shut up!
Oh, man.
She was not down with RPS.
Back to the troop.
Hey, Kevin, it's Dave. We're here at the Nine Inch Nails show. I see your big head is blocking the stage. Can you move? Wait, that's not you. Hey, dude, where you at?
They're really rubbing it in, man. These are the kind of friends you want in your hour of need.
This is early September. Early September.
Very early, yes.
We're a month away from what you're about to hear.
Is it too soon? Halloween, outside my window. Halloween, behind the tree. I wish that it was to see, but I can't find it for the life of me, and it's Halloween spook outside my window.
That was the llama, he said.
I don't know if you've been in a grocery store or drugstore lately, Kevin, but all the Halloween candy is out. I mean, they're going full force with it already.
Yeah.
It's practically here.
I just love Halloween.
I'm right. With you. And finally, one more call from the troubadour.
Kevin, this is Doc on the Rock. We don't have much to say to each other, especially when you're not at Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, man.
That has got to hurt.
Let's talk about Billy Corgan of the
William.
Smash. Is he going by William Corgan now?
He's going by William now. It's a new serious Billy Corgan.
Of the Smashing Pumpkins, and apparently he is taking things in a different direction as he has found God. Listen to this interview.
So what are you exploring now?
God. God's the third rail of, like they say, Social Security is the third rail of politics in America. Well, God is the third rail in rock and roll. You're not supposed to talk about God, even though most of the world believes in God. Mm. It's sort of like, don't go there. I think God's the great unexplored territory in rock and roll music.
And what would you say to Christian rockers then?
Make better music. My opinion, I think Jesus would like better bands, you know?
Jesus would like better bands.
All right.
I'm always interested in what Billy Corgan is talking about. I think he's a very smart guy, very fascinating guy. He definitely had a sweet spot where he was making music that everyone loved for a few years there.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of lost his way a little bit. So maybe this is good for him. Maybe some new inspiration will make him make some music that he's passionate about again.
That Jesus will like. Do you want to talk to Billy?
William? William on the phone?
We have William. Sorry.
Love to talk to William Corgan. Hi, Billy. How are you?
Yeah, it's William. It's William now.
Hi, William. Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you so much for joining us. I feel like it's been a long time since we had you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It has been a long time, but not long enough.
So we were just playing the interview where you say that Jesus wants better bands.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Now we have to talk about God in rock and roll music. It's not talked about enough, and that's what we have to talk about is God. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to make better music, better bands, and deal with God in rock and roll.
Okay.
Now, I'm just curious, do you think that will make Smashing Pumpkins records start selling again? Do you think that's the route to success?
I don't care.
You don't care if they sell?
No, it's not important. It's about the art. It's about the music.
That's what people say who can't sell albums anymore.
Ha.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was a cheap shot.
Look.
Yeah. Why Jesus loves me and you not so much.
Okay.
Sorry. You know that, huh?
Yeah, I do know that. What do you know?
Certainly.
Tell me what you know.
Jesus.
What do you know? I'm not hearing what you know.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, okay, then.
I don't know
then
a thing.
Then all right. Okay.
But I do know that religion has certainly been an inspiration for millions of people throughout history in terms of art in particular.
Exactly.
And
And maybe this will inspire you to write some phenomenal new songs. I hope so.
Look at the great art in the Sistine Chapel and other works that were commissioned by the church dealt with God and man and the relationship between those two.
Right.
And that was a great motivator for great art. And now, you know, it's twerking.
So, and you don't think Jesus likes twerking?
It doesn't matter whether he likes it or not. It's just irrelevant.
I see.
It doesn't deal with any of the big issues of the human condition and why we're here and what's going on. And Jesus is the only one that can get us there.
Now, are you going to write a new album's worth?
I have a new album.
You have a new album finished?
Yes. What do you know?
Well, I'm just asking. I don't know anything.
You know something about someone before you talk to them.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, it's a new album called Mary Magdalene and the Infinite Jesus.
Okay.
All right. That's kind of a throwback to an earlier Smashing Pumpkins album.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So what do these new songs sound like? Are they a traditional rock song, or are they more choral, or what direction are you
Christian
going with this?
Christian rock.
Okay.
It's good rock that Jesus will love.
Okay.
And they're all brand new original songs, and they're great, and they're different, and they're fresh.
Is there a way we could hear a little bit of one?
All right. I'll play some here. Okay. This is one of my new songs. It's called Name.
Okay, Name.
And God is great. Don't take his name in vain.
Sounds a lot like...
We're not the same. God likes me more than you.
Yeah, that's true. That's Name.
That's just you singing new words over an old Smashing Pumpkins track, though. Why are you so dumb?
You don't know anything. Well, that's wrong.
It's a
brand new song.
All right. You have any other
new song off the album? It's amazing. It's new. It's fresh. It's Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus is the greatest Jesus I've ever known. Can't wait to see Jesus. Jesus is really cool. I'll burn my bush out.
Why?
I really dig Jesus.
You like Jesus, okay.
That's a song called Jesus.
Right, but it doesn't sound like there's anything new going on here. It's just you making up Jesus lyrics over old...
My God, you're so stupid. Why did God make you so stupid?
Well, we can't all be geniuses.
That's right. So let the genius do the talking.
Okay, but we do recognize...
Not so much with the mouth that go...
We do recognize music, and that does sound like old Smashing
Pumpkins. Brand new, it's fresh, never been heard.
All right.
Like this, the last song I'm going to play for you because I'm tired of wasting my time on you.
Okay.
Is a song called Easter off the new album.
Easter.
Easter's the day we talk about the guy in the cave. Easter's the day that we talk about the guy in the cave. Despite what they say, I know that we'll all be saved. Easter's the day that we talk about the guy in the cave.
Brand new music.
Again, that sounds like, despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, bitch. Damn it.
Avicii on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7, KROQ at 8:39.
I was looking for some banjos to get my day started, so thank you for that. And, of course, Aloe Black is singing on that. And then our friend Mike Einziger from Incubus is the one who co-wrote the song and I think is playing the sweet guitar on that. Again, that is called Wake Me Up here on the world-famous K-Rock. Speaking of new music, I know that technically it is still summertime, but post-Labor Day, people have pretty much forgotten about the song of the summer. It's kind of already in the history. And this year, I think it had to either be the Daft Punk song or the Robin Thicke song. Those were the songs of the summer,
yeah,
right?
Blurred Lines or Get Lucky, right.
Those are the ones that you couldn't go to any kind of barbecue or party or nightclub or anything without hearing those songs. Well, not so fast. Summer's not over, and I think we may have a new candidate for the new song of the summer that may even be better and bigger than either of those songs
summer,
I just mentioned.
Fall, spring, and summer again. This
really?
Song will be forever.
Wow.
Have you heard The Fox yet, Lisa?
No.
Oh,
sweet-ass video that goes along with it, too.
Oh, boy.
Oh, are you in for a treat? These are two guys who have a Norwegian television show. They go by the combined name of Ylvis, I think. I think that's how you pronounce it, or Wildis. I'm not sure. But they have a song called The Fox, and it is one of the craziest things you've ever heard in your life. By the way, it just came out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It already has over 2.5 million views on YouTube.
Dude.
Yeah, because you'll watch it and you'll go, what the F? We put it up at krock.com if you'd like to look at that, or we also tweeted it out. But the video is there, and it starts talking about animals and what sounds they make.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
All right, so that's the setup.
So all dog goes woof, cat say. Goes meow, bird goes tweet, but you name all those animals, and you go, hey, what about the fox? What kind of noise does a fox make? And that's what the whole song is about.
What is the sound of the fox? They give us some suggestions.
What does the fox say? What the fox say?
I don't think that's it.
What the fox say? Hacky, 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 ho. Hacky, 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 ho. Hacky, 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 ho. What the fox say? Yup, 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 say.
Doesn't it sound like somebody sat down to make the most ridiculous song ever?
I love it. You know, this is the kind of conversation we have in the office where, like, Ralph goes, where do the dead birds go? And we're all like, I don't know. And
right.
It's like somebody brought this up and like, I don't know, but that's a song.
Now, I don't
the
know anything about
it. Awesome.
I don't, it yeah, is.
They're
I mean,
all dressed
it,
up like animals and jumping around. It's the strangest, strangest thing you've ever seen.
I love it so much. I don't know anything about these guys or what their history is. I mean, are they like Norway's version of the Lonely Island or something? Is this
Weird
what
Al?
They do?
I don't
make
know.
These kinds of songs because it's unbelievably dumb and catchy, and I just feel like it's heading toward Gangnam Style, don't you?
Yes, because every single one of you, and we're not going to apologize for this up front, at about 2 p.m. this afternoon, you're gonna find yourself going, what does the fox say? It's super catchy. So then in the song, they go along and they say, let's say a fox meets a horse. Mm-hmm. What does the fox say to the horse?
Big blue eyes, pointy nose, chasing mice and digging holes. Tiny paws up the hill. Suddenly you're standing still. Your fur is red, so beautiful, like an angel in disguise. But if you meet a friendly horse, will you communicate by me?
How do you communicate with the horse?
What the fox say?
I hope that's it.
What the fox say? What does the fox say? The secret of the fox, ancient mystery, somewhere deep in the woods, I know you're hiding. What is your sound? Will we ever know?
How about some more suggestions?
Will always be a mystery.
The catchiest thing.
I like it.
It is. My new ringtone.
And by the way, for anyone who says that drugs are bad, I point to this as why you're wrong.
That's great.
What does the fox say? That is that's going to be the biggest song in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope that we start playing it regularly here on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
It is Friday. Ralph Garman is here now for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on The Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, the rumors are true. Scarlett Johansson's off the market.
Aw.
Kevin, you were so close. Dude. What happened? How'd you lose her at the last minute?
I let her go. Why did she choose him over you?
I let her go. I said it's okay for now.
For now. You're going to break up this marriage too, like you did the one to Ryan Reynolds? She is getting married to her boyfriend, Romain Doriac.
When I want her, it'll happen.
Oh, okay. Because you don't want her now.
Right.
I see. Rumors started when she was spotted with a big fat diamond ring on her finger. I guess that's where you would put a diamond ring, huh?
Sure.
On your finger?
I would think.
At the Venice Film Festival. They've been dating since November of last year, and they are going to walk down the aisle together. I don't know who this Romain Doriac is, but he sounds like a Bond villain.
I don't like him. I know that. I don't like him at all.
Show Romain Doriac. I finally see you here in your mansion.
Yes, Mr. Bond. And I'm marrying Scarlett Johansson.
Not if I have anything to say with it. Or about it.
Wherever
my memory's
that.
Going. I'm old.
What's up with Lamar Odom? What's going on there?
Yeah, bad things.
Bad things.
Bad things.
He was supposed to go to rehab. According to the two different sources I got, one said he'd never checked in. The other one says he went there and then immediately turned around and left again. Either way, he's not getting the treatment he needs, and he's out there in the wind, and nobody really knows where he is, apparently. He needs some help.
Yeah.
We're going to have a bad situation, I think, if he keeps doing what he's doing and driving what he's driving. And who knows how he could end up.
What's your prediction on how this one's going to end up?
Well, you always hope he's going to get help.
I think he'll get help. I do. I think he's got enough people around him that care. Say what you want about that Wookiee he's married to, but she seems to genuinely have affection for him. And so maybe she and some friends, maybe some fellow NBAers can get together and talk some sense into him, at least get him into a program.
I do feel that Dr. Drew's now doing as much as he could. I'll tell you that.
He is not. He is not.
I feel like he's dropping the ball.
He can't just force himself on people.
He does it all the time.
No, he doesn't.
Remember, all those teen moms he forced himself on. Why can't he
That's not the
step
case.
In and help a guy who's got some
Lamar would have to
problems.
Call him specifically to get his help.
So you're defending you're defending all the kids he had with the teen mobs.
He didn't have any kids with teen moms.
You think he should stay away from a drug addict who needs help.
Sure. All right. Whatever.
How dare you?
Whatever you think, Kevin. Hey, real quick TV note. NBC, stop telling me that the Million Man March or the $12 million March or whatever it is you're trying to sell me is the most anticipated event in television.
Well, apparently it is.
No.
NBC last night.
No. Do you know anybody who's anticipating this at all?
No.
No.
On any level?
Actually, no.
Then it's hardly the most anticipated television event of the year.
It might turn out to be great, but we don't know that
first
yet.
Of all, no.
Okay, no.
And
no,
secondly,
no.
If it does, everyone will be surprised and
true.
We'll have to hear it from someone else who was watching.
That's true.
Because no one is anticipating this event.
It is true. Kind of weird that they're making a commitment to air it for, what, like 12 days in a row or something like that? Because
yes.
If it sucks and no one's watching, you know 3 or 4 days in, they're going to be like, seriously, can we pull the plug and just put it on NBC.com?
Yeah, I guess they can. They can just roll it over, because apparently it's got a very strong internet website element to it,
right.
So maybe they could just swing it on over there or put it on MSNBC or WGBNBC or one of the many.
That's one of theirs.
One of the many NBC.
But it's networks. A million second quiz show, Ralph. That's what you don't
the
get.
The $12 Million Man March.
I don't think that's the name of it. But
it's 12 million
it's
black guys marching and then taking your money. It's like Beer Mug was in New York.
Oh, it's not like that
it's
at all.
It's just like that. You open up your wallet and they take $12 million.
It's the opposite of that.
Then they march.
Did you watch NBC last night for the game at all, Ralph?
Of course. It's football. You think I wasn't watching?
It is football.
I was so glad to see Ryan Seacrest.
Well, that was my point. Is less than 1 minute into the new NFL season, we had to hear this.
Please welcome Ryan Seacrest.
Woo! I missed that
part. When you think football.
Oh, my God.
Please don't put Ryan Seacrest in my football. Please don't make that happen. And then was it Al Michaels who had to interview him about the Million Man March? Is he the one who had to do the interview?
It's not a Million Man March.
It's a Million Man March.
That's not what it is.
A million black guys come and take $12 from you. from a million people.
It's not
and then
true.
It becomes the $12 million man
it's
march.
It's a game show. Some kind of game show.
They also started it was the first I'd seen it anyway, started rolling out their promotion for the Olympics last night. We had to see the February Olympics we had to see them promoting last night.
Because the audio being of Seacrest talking to Al Michaels where he was talking about the countdown to the NFL, start of the NFL season?
I don't have that cut up, I'm sorry to say.
Man.
But yeah, where he was talking about?
The countdown to the NFL season, is just, everyone's waiting for it. And another countdown everyone's waiting for is for the Million Man March. They can't wait to see those black
it's
guys.
Not a Million
take
Man March
from a million people.
It's not it.
It was the worst segue ever.
It was kind of embarrassing, actually. I think it was Costas. I think he actually talked. Oh, I think he talked to Costas last night.
They
poor
were
Bob.
Smart before last night's football game. They would have played a new theme song.
What does the fox say?
That'd be better.
Can't wait for my new song, What's the Llama Say? You're going to hear that coming up soon. Tonight, 10 p.m. at the beautiful Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our patented brand of comedy with...
Yeah!
Hollywood Babylon, we'd love to see you there. Come see us. I'm asking you, personally. It's a personal favor to me. Come see us tonight at 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com. We'd love to see you come out.
It helps if you have a drink or two.
Well,
because Ralph has 10 or 12.
I usually start around noon, and then I get good and oiled before I hit the stage. So don't worry. The waiters and the bartenders there at the Improv will take care of you. They'll get you nice and juiced. Today's celebrity birthdays. Max George of The Wanted is 25 years old today. Idris Elba from Luther, of course, on the BBC. You know him, of course, also from Thor. He was in, Kevin, here's how you would know him. Ghost Rider, Urine of Vengeance.
I don't think it was the Urine of Vengeance.
He peed fire, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. That's true.
He was the priest in that. He was the motorcycle riding priest in that movie.
Wasn't he also the guy who came in after, one of the guys who came in after Steve Carell left?
He was
on The Office for a number of weeks, right?
He was one of the managers at The Office, yeah. Dolores O'Riordan is 42 years old. Michael Winslow is 55. Jeff Foxworthy turns 55 as well. Roger Waters, bassist from Pink Floyd, is 70. And Nina Persson. From the Cardigans, lead singer.
I went
to
Norway,
band.
You know, and they had the IKEA. The IKEA was huge.
Is it huge?
Can you please stop talking about Norway?
Nina, you've been here for 15 minutes. You're already tired of Norway? But see.
That's how that went in.
By the way,
15 minutes into the interview, Bean's breaking out his IKEA chunk.
By the way, she wasn't from Norway.
No, she's Swedish.
No, she's from Sweden.
She's from Sweden.
Same region, Kevin.
So Bean's...
Someone's saying to you, you're from Phoenix? Oh, I went to Colorado once, and they had a supermarket
but
there.
But in Bean's defense, we had burned through 700 questions by that point. And they wouldn't answer them, and one of them fell asleep.
Still my favorite all-time interview, I think.
His head literally hit the counter, and he was out cold.
And he was the lucky one that day.
Yeah. The listeners were wishing for
along
the same
thing. Along
with the audience. She's 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 2013 NFL season is about to begin.
So that was the scene last night in Denver at the Mile High Stadium before the first game of the 2013 NFL season began. And I was just thinking, man, does it get any better than this? Is this like the moment we've been waiting for month after month after month, just looking forward to football?
Daniel Tosh said, welcome football. Thanks for nothing, baseball.
And then it all crashed around me when we heard Ryan Seacrest come out onto the field to be introduced. And
that
I thought, how is it? How? Why? Cousin Sal, who's putting Ryan Seacrest in my football? What's that about?
You know, you wait 6 or 7 painstaking months for the season to roll around. You drive extra slow. You don't want anything bad to happen.
Right.
And then Santa Claus comes down the chimney and he breaks his neck in two right away.
I know that NBC had their million second quiz show that they needed to promote last night. I understand promotionally why it made sense to have Seacrest there, but it just was, it was everything about it was wrong.
It's a terrible, terrible fit. And the guy, he has 75 TV radio jobs.
Yeah.
He bangs the hottest hotties in Hollywood. Why? Go frost your tips in St. Bart's. Leave us that alone. Get away from our football.
Well,
if that's not bad enough, you know, all right, okay, here's the game. And you know, there's some lightning. And then thanks, Peyton Manning. He ends the season in an hour and a half. It's all over.
It was over.
7 touchdown passes. And like to put that in perspective, that's 7 more touchdown passes than 30 other starting quarterbacks this year.
That's true. That's accurate.
Well, that is accurate, yeah. And no interceptions, too, by the way, which puts him in very rare company. I mean, hasn't it been 50 years or something like that since anybody's done that, right?
Yeah, I think it's over 50 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what makes him the best. He adjusts. Even good quarterbacks take 2-3 games to adjust to personnel they're not familiar with. But he needed, like, 7 minutes over the halftime break to – to wipe his brow and just get going. You know, he was short-arming passes. He was bouncing some in the dirt and misleading receivers. But he got it going in a heartbeat.
You know what was great, too, is that they were not playing a bad team. They were playing the Super Bowl champs from last year.
Yeah, Super
That's
Bowl.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, before we talk about this weekend, Cousin Sal, I want to mention a couple things. First of all, obviously, Cousin Sal writes for Grantland every Friday, and that includes today. His gambling column is up at Grantland.com. You do the Monday Guest the Lines podcast with your good friend Bill Simmons. And, of course, you'll be with Jimmy Kimmel, your cousin, tonight on his show with special guest Celine Dion. So I know you got a lot going on, but it seemed like
even making him pay $350 to watch her in his own show. I think
I'm not I'm not surprised. I also noticed that you were killing it with your fantasy team last night too, which must have made you extra happy.
No, I was kidding. I was joking. There were two of the biggest no names in football scored, and I mentioned that I had them in my starting lineup.
But I wouldn't be surprised. You're the kind of guy who knows those guys that no one has ever heard of.
I am in like 64 leagues, so the odds were good that I had one of them.
Sal is our expert. We have him on, every weekend before the NFL, so that he can tell you how to make money.
Yes.
And if you lose money using his advice, he will. Will you pay him back? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. Just
no.
If I lose this week, the picks are guaranteed free for the rest of the season.
I see. Okay.
All right. Well, let's start with a team that's near and dear to the hearts of many Kevin and Bean listeners and Southern Californians all over, and that is the Raiders. Any kind of improvement this year versus the team they put out last year?
No. Just the opposite.
All right.
I'm really into betting against the Raiders this year. They lost a ton of players. They have 40% dead salary cap money. That Al Davis insisted on burying the money with him, which is very inconsiderate. Right? No, 40% of their money is going to players who are not even on the team. That's astounding. And this week they reluctantly named Terrell Pryor their quarterback. They're going to win two or three games, and this one against the Colts is certainly not one of them. I like Indy 35-10. Long, long year for Raiders fans.
So Indianapolis, their season doesn't really even start until next weekend, I guess, right?
That's right.
All right, let's talk about
it. They don't have the dying coach to fall back on anymore, but this is a walkover.
Here's a little tighter game, and that's Kansas City and Jacksonville.
Yeah, I love this Chiefs team, and it's a bandwagon pick for 2013, I know. And they have a new head coach they like in Andy Reid, and former 49ers quarterback Alex Smith is taking snaps. They're like a talented team. With a little bad luck last year. That's six Pro Bowlers coming back. The Jaguars are the Jaguars. Not a lot of great things happened to them in the offseason, and their star running back, Maurice Jones-Drew, thought about quitting the team last month. They're a bit of a mess. If this game were played in, like, November, I think the Chiefs would be favored by 9 points. That's how good they're going to be. And if it were played like 1967, they'd be favored by 100 because
wow.
The Jags didn't even exist. I don't even know why I brought that up. 31-14, Chiefs give the 4 points on the road.
All right, and finally, I'm glad you picked the Bengals game to talk about because Larry King, who of course is the final word on all NFL picks, he picked Cincinnati to go to the Super Bowl this year. I want to know what your thoughts are on that and how you feel they'll do against Chicago this
weekend. Wow, I didn't know that, and I also have the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, you might have to reconsider.
Even worse, being against your Seahawks. So I don't know where that puts us. But I did a podcast last week with Bill Simmons. We picked over under season win totals, and I apparently made the mistake of saying I thought the Bears were going to end up with under 8.5 wins. Yeah, I figure like 8 1/3, 8 3/8 wins at most. But I never received so much hate tweet bordering on death threats in my life. And for what? I'm almost always wrong. They should be happy.
Yeah. I wish you'd pick Arizona to win.
Yeah, of course. I know. They're threatening to do bodily harm to me, urging me to perform crazy sexual acts on myself that seem impossible.
But you get that all the time.
I do. I get it a lot. But, geez, their quarterback, Jay Cutler's been sacked 153 times in the last 4 years. This week they go up against Geno Atkins and a tough, I think even tougher this year, Bengals defense. Since he's my choice to win the AFC, I'm going to forget the Broncos even played last night. What does the Fox say? This Fox says, take the Bengals getting the points. They don't need them. They beat the Bears outright 27-17.
You guys see what he just did? He just tied in. What does the Fox say?
It's a tieback. Beautiful.
Nicely done.
All right, so recapping Cousin Sal's picks, Bengals +3 over the Bears, Chiefs -4 over the Jaguars, and the Colts -10 over the Raiders. And again, you can see Cousin Sal. He has so much more on this and everything to do with the NFL at Grantland.com. Look for his podcast with Bill Simmons called Guess the Lines. And you and Jimmy Kimmel hanging out with Celine Dion tonight. Maybe you need to buy one of those two big houses she's got up for sale this week. Have you seen those, Sal?
Oh, it's a dream come true. How many TV screens can we fit in there?
I am guessing that Cousin Sal's not going to be allowed anywhere near her.
Yeah, that's probably true. They'll shoot him on sight. All right, Sal, man, we'll look forward to speaking with you every Friday during the season. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thanks, fellas. Thank
you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening with...
Ow.
What?
Headphones I hate that moment where you put on your headphones and you're listening to the song and go, whoa, the song is so low. And then you don't realize it's fading out. Yeah. So you crank the headphones up all the way. Right. And then Kevin comes in and goes, rah! And now I'm bleeding. Okay. Good way to start the weekend.
Love it. Hey, Kat Corbett's going to be along shortly. She will also have for you that brand new Coldplay song that we played earlier today called...
And I'm having a coming up soon.
It's called Atlas. If you want to hear that, stick around. Kat will have that for you again in a little while. First, though, time for the showbiz beat now. One more time for a Friday morning. Here's Ralph.
This song is called Atlas, but I hope you all really like it.
It's maybe your best impression, Ralph. It's certainly the most accurate.
Hi, it's Kat.
Yeah. Hi, Kat. How are you doing? Looking forward to hearing Atlas by Coldplay on your show now.
All right, let's do some showbiz news.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Great news. This Sunday, very exciting, September the 8th.
Yes.
Tickets go on sale for...
Yes, yes.
Rocky the Musical.
Yay!
No, I'm going to be singing and dancing, you know.
That sounds terrible.
Well, Adrian, you want to break into song with me?
But maybe bad enough to be great.
You don't have to kiss me back or nothing. I just want to kiss you.
Could be the best or the worst. Either way, it's a win.
Agreed.
Previews start February the 11th next year at the Winter Garden Theater there in New York City. That was the home for Cats for many years, you know. The Winter Garden.
For what?
Cats. Cats, it's now and forever.
Hi.
Hi. It's Cats.
So,
you
said it's a musical, right?
I sure did, Skippy.
So are we going to see people like boxing and singing at the same time in this? Or?
Ooh, I can't wait.
I can't wait.
I've never seen Kevin excited about a musical before, but it sounds like he is.
That was a good jab.
Ow!
You gotta cut me, Mick. Cut me now.
Blood spurts out into the audience.
I like it.
Rob Pattinson has no filter, sadly. Did an interview with the German magazine Interview.
Sometimes that's great, depending on the celebrity.
Yes. He was talking about a movie he did called Little Ashes in 2008. And he confirmed that he actually pleasured himself for a scene.
For a scene?
Yeah, it was a scene that involved him pleasuring himself, and he actually engaged in the act to completion.
What? But that wasn't in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was?
My orgasm face is recorded for eternity.
Oh, man.
The interview is a man standing O.
So, I guess if you're interested in that, you can rent Little Ashes.
Some people are.
Oh, what an orgasm.
I'm going to go with no.
There's the scene from Little Ashes right there.
That one.
Former 30 Rock star Alec Baldwin's got a new gig. Friday nights, late night on MSNBC, he will be hosting his own talk show called Up Late with Alec Baldwin.
When does that start?
It starts in October, Bean.
What kind of a robot question was that?
Yeah, it's going to replace the MSNBC Lockup prison documentary series, which used
to air. Kevin is so sad.
I love those.
Used to air in that same time slot. That's going to be moved, and they're going to put Alec Baldwin
in
there.
They do extended stay. They do those for, like, hours at a time.
You know, if you put a paparazzo on the show with Alec Baldwin, you could have Lockup and that show all in the same...
Put together. That's true.
Fell swoop. You could just have him fist fight and go to jail. I think that could be interesting. Alec Baldwin's a pretty interesting dude, and he's very... He's
very smart, very articulate. I love... His podcast. Listen to it all the time. He's great.
Really?
Love it.
That's where this came from. His podcast is so successful. And he's enjoying it, enjoying doing it so much. They're taking it and they're moving it to television.
He's a good interviewer.
We'll have to wait and see. Maybe they'll have Mel Gibson on as a guest. I'd love to hear those two together. Mel had an angry encounter with Malibu cops again this past weekend.
Imagine you're a Malibu cop and you pull over Mel Gibson.
And you're like, oh, here we go.
You go talk to him.
No,
I don't want to talk to him.
I did it last time. He called me Sugar Bleeps. it was on PCH, same road where Mel was busted in 2006, famously for that DUI where he ranted against the Jews and women and Said he was the king of Malibu or something.
That did happen.
Anyway, this time, according to deputies, he wasn't drinking. They had no reason to suspect he was drinking. He was asked, and he said he hadn't been drinking. But he didn't have his license on him. That was the problem. So they
I don't care.
They decided to go to a secondary screening spot to deal with that issue, and that's when Mel got angry, yelling, "Why are you harassing me?" Deputies reportedly calmly asked Mel, "Why are you screaming, sir?" And he said, "I had problems with you Lost Hills deputies in the past.
I don't need medication."
Well, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea. Things cooled down, and reportedly deputies let Mel off with a warning that he should not do Expendables 3.
Did they say that?
That was the warning.
You need a doctor. You need a brain transplant. You need a soul.
All those are true.
That's true. That guy does need a soul.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays and we close out the week, these are my final pairs of tickets to go see The Wizard of Oz.
Yay!
This is the premiere, The Wizard of Oz remastered.
I thought that was already out. I swear to God, I remember seeing that somewhere.
This version remastered, redone in IMAX 3D. Imagine, if you will, that movie, and if you've seen it. I don't think Kevin has, but everyone else on the planet has. There's the long black and white sequence where she's in Kansas, and then the tornado comes and picks up her house and drops her in Oz.
Spoiler alert!
And in that moment, legendarily, the film becomes glorious Technicolor. It goes from black and white to really the most super saturated, beautiful Technicolor you've ever seen.
And it's, there weren't a lot of color movies in 1939,
no, sir,
right?
Absolutely right. It was very impactful and made a big impression upon the audience. Now imagine that moment done in 3D.
Pretty cool.
Which is what they're going to do. Apparently, it's going to be 2D all the way through Kansas. And then when she gets to Oz, Munchkin Land there will become brilliantly colored and also 3D. And I can imagine that it's going to be very, very impactful. Anyway, it's the premiere, September the 15th at the TCL Chinese Theater. That's where they're going to put it on the IMAX screen right there. And then, of course, it'll be in selected theaters for a one-week limited engagement starting Friday, September the 20th. But you'll have seen it by then. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067, six lucky winners will get a pair of tickets to attend the premiere of The Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D.
This is magical.
Let's send Beer Mug down there to interview people at the premiere of Wizard of Oz.
Sure.
Myself, I'm a munchkin.
Mugs, have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Surprising.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Roger Waters of the legendary band Pink Floyd is 70 years old today. Actor and comedian Jeff Foxworthy turns 55, as does actor, comedian, and guy who makes sounds with his mouth, Michael Winslow. He's 55.
It's quite a tribute.
It is. Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries is 42 years old. Idris Elba, brilliant British actor, is 41 years old. Max George of The Wanted is 25. And Nina Persson from The Cardigans. She's 39 years old today.
Is it? I mean, is it? Do you guys? I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, that was the birth of that legendary moment.
It sure was.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff with that interview.
You they did. Cool.
And
not want to be here.
So what? Yeah. Okay.
We were both out.
They
we
did not want to be here.
You poor bastard.
And we didn't want them to be here.
It's not often that I feel bad for Kevin or Bean. Usually I would like more bad things to befall them. But yeah, in this particular case, that's a hard road to hoe.
No, yeah. We deserved combat pay for that.
I mean, I'm not saying we were good, but...
No, we were bad. They didn't meet you halfway, did they?
They
no.
sure didn't.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. On Monday morning, of course, we will talk to Harvey Levitt from TMZ, and we've got Andrew Siciliano with a look at the first weekend of the NFL.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, here's to my big opening.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, please, God, can it come fast?
Roll another one.
There will be no drugs or hookers.
Just like the other one.
Please do not pull out a gun.
This one seems to be about to quit. Another
I'm sorry, you have a problem with the science of hot tub time machine.
Yeah, not the time travel, it's the hot tub. You don't just turn one on and it's immediately hot. I should know, I've been in a hot tub two times.
Roll another one.
Everyone's a dumb whore.
That's true.
Just like the other one.
I'm
I'm Larry Flint. I approve this message.
This one seems to be about
this is not my kind of comedy.
I don't have another cent.
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
I don't want to guard that joint.
See, this is why we don't win wars anymore.
Just pass it around.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
And how often have you used
it? Just pass it on down.
I think the most important thing is, what do you do once you're through it? Once you survive, then what?
Farewell, our hearty hosts. We hope you enjoy the show.
You, sir, have reached the end of the line. The joyride is over.
What is my course of action?
A quick departure seems a very good choice.
Are you sure there is no other solution?
None whatsoever. Goodbye.
Then I will go. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.